Well, good evening, church. I guess I didn't do too bad last week. I don't know if anybody actually watched the message, but Pastor Russo did ask if I'd do it again. So I didn't get kicked out yet. Now he's giving me looks from the back door. We're going to start today in John chapter number 21. John chapter number 21. We're going to read through the passage here in John and go through some of the thoughts that Jesus shared with his disciples. And of course, we're celebrating the resurrection. And when I was a kid, I liked it for the chocolates, but now I buy and eat too much chocolate already, but I still like Resurrection Sunday. And now you really appreciate, as an adult, what it means for us as Christians, that the fact that Jesus, although he paid the sacrifice on the cross, which, you know, Pastor Russo preached about a little bit here, about the cross and the sacrifice and what comes with it, but man, that blessing of knowing that he wasn't just a man who had a good message and died like all other men, but he died, he was buried, and then he rose again. That he conquered death, and we, amen, we have that promise that gives us hope that the death is not the end of our time, that we have an eternity, an eternal life in heaven that we get to spend with God. I'm not going to preach too much about that, but as I was thinking about, and we know all this stuff now as we look back and we have the full scripture and we can tie what Christ was teaching his disciples into what he did after. We can see all the teachings of the apostles after with Paul, and we see all the prophecies of the Old Testament. We kind of have the complete picture. And as I read John chapter 21, this is after the crucifixion. Jesus had already appeared to the disciples. We have the story of, you know, Thomas with his doubts in chapter number 20, the chapter before. So Jesus had appeared to his disciples twice already. He had appeared to the ladies outside the tomb the morning of the resurrection. But I imagine, as I'm trying to imagine myself in this circumstance, if I was one of the apostles and you hear the stories, how, you know, Jesus appeared to the people on the road and how the ladies came and how maybe you were one that ran to the tomb and you saw that it was empty. And, man, the confusion that must be going on in your head. First, that the horribleness of the crucifixion and the trial. And we're really focusing on Peter in this chapter. And the doubt and the confusion. And then to know that he's risen. And maybe not sure what that means. He's appearing, but he doesn't always appear to be the same, but he shows them the nails in his hands and the hole in his side. So they know it's him, but then he's gone again. And I don't know if they thought, is he going to come and go? Did he just show us that he's risen and we're never going to see him again? What's going to happen? And the morning here in, well, it's actually the evening they come together in John chapter number 21. It says in verse number 1, John 21, 1, and we're going to read through a bit of the chapter here, so if you just want to kind of get your Bible open and keep it here. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. So that's the introduction. This is what's going to happen in this chapter. And there were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. So here we have Peter, we have Thomas, we have the sons of Zebedee, Nathanael, and two other disciples. I count seven disciples, if I can do math. And Simon Peter says to them in verse number 3, I go a-fishing. They say to him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. So as Peter's here and the disciples are gathered together, it's not all of them, but there's a decent group of them here together, they decide, what are we doing? And Peter decides, I'm going to go fishing. Maybe they didn't know what to do. They weren't yet commissioned to go into the whole world and preach the gospel. They hadn't received the gift of the Holy Ghost yet. They weren't exactly sure what they're supposed to be doing. The person that had been following Christ had been crucified. They know he's risen again. But now what do I do? The last 3 years of their life, they spent following Christ, listening to his messages, working with him to minister to people, trying to change who they were according to what he taught. And as Scripture teaches us that after these things happen, they kind of look back and remember the prophecies that Jesus had taught them. So maybe they're thinking about those things and the words that he had said, how the temple would be destroyed and in 3 days he could raise it up again. Maybe they were thinking about a message they heard Jesus teach. Maybe they were hoping that another disciple would walk through the door and say, hey, Jesus just appeared to me and he told me to do. Because when he appears to them, he doesn't give them a mission. He doesn't say, now go do this. And I got to preach last week about some of our mind and doubts that come into our mind and how to handle that, what to do with it when discouragement comes. And this week, I think Peter's going through a time of doubt and a time of discouragement. He's not sure exactly what's happening. He might be confused. And Jesus comes to him and gives him some reminders. And then gives him something to do. Something to do. In times of confusion, in times of doubt, it's easy to just to sit still, let your mind go crazy, and not realize how much time we might be missing or wasting or not using. And Peter and the disciples, they said, Peter knows, I've got to do something. Let's just go fishing. And I picture maybe some people in their house now thinking, man, I wish I could go do something. I'd love to go out to eat. I'd love to go to the store. I'd like to go to, I'd like to do something. Let's just do something. The parks are closed. The playgrounds are driving by and taped off with caution tape like there was a murder scene at some of them. You can't go anywhere. And Peter's like, I got to do something. We can't just sit here anymore. I'm going to go fishing. And they go fishing throughout the night. And they don't catch anything. In verse number 3, he goes fishing. And in the morning, on verse number 4, and when morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. So I don't know if they notice him at first. Maybe he calls out. Maybe they're fishing and they see just somebody on the bank watching them. And Jesus does call out eventually. Verse number 5, Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw in for the multitude of fishes. A miracle Jesus does for them. As after they had fished during the night, they still hadn't caught anything. And Jesus once again tells them, cast the net on the right side of the ship. And they catch a multitude of fish. And it goes on to tell us here, 153 fish they caught. And they, in verse number 6, they catch the fish, and they weren't able to draw it in. And in verse number 7, therefore the disciple whom Jesus loveth saith to Peter. So that's John says to Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat on him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish lay thereon and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye had caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. For all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Sorry. In verse number 12, Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. So they have this appearance of Christ, this miracle where, you know, they're fishing on the boat. They realize it's Jesus. John says, that's Jesus on the shore. Peter, with such emotion and passion that we see in Peter throughout the Gospels, jumps into the water, says, I'm not waiting for the fish to get in. I'm not going to wait for the boat to get to land. If that's Jesus, I've got to go see him. And Jesus has a message for them. And there's three sections here where Jesus gives a couple reminders to his disciples. And they're a reminder, I think, to help them overcome the confusion, the doubt that might be in their minds, to remind them who he is, what he's done, but it also gives them something to do in the future. It's his plan also for going forward. And the first one we see here is in verse number 12, where Jesus says unto them, come and dine. Jesus invites all the apostles that are there, the seven apostles, to do what? Come and dine. Come spend some time with me. Let's sit down. Let's have a moment of fellowship. You guys got the fish in. You were all out night fishing. There's been a lot of work, a lot of busyness, a lot of confusion. Now what do we need? Let's just sit down and dine. Spend some time with the Savior. Just wanted to spend some time with them, to sit down, to talk, to fellowship. And it's interesting how the verse says that none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? knowing that it was the Lord. So it seems there might be some kind of confusion there that that Jesus might have been doing what he did to the two on the road, that he's kind of disguising himself, but they know it's him. And maybe it's the way he talks. Maybe it's the power he just showed in the miracle. Maybe it's his eyes. Maybe he does have the nail prints in his hands that they can see. But they know it's the Lord, so much so that they don't have to ask. And I know in my life that I can't say I've ever seen God. And I don't think anybody can. Brother Bauman, can you say you've seen the Lord? I haven't seen God, but I have seen God work. And I have heard God talk to me. And I've seen God, not in person, but I've seen God move in people. And I've seen God change people. And I've seen God speak to people. So in that way, I have seen God, and I know it was him based on what he did, based on what he said, based on the comfort that he gives, based on the prayers that he's answered, based on, there's something different about, I know I've put together lots of messages, and there's something different about putting together a message and how it comes together and how you feel God kind of guide your thoughts. You should have seen the notes for this message. Before, it is what it is now. I had chicken scratches everywhere, arrows pointing different directions. It was a mess, and then God kind of takes it, and he guides it in. Now, I've put together notes for debates, for giving speeches, for book reports, for essays. It never is the same way as when you're putting together a message. How God, you can tell, God is there steering your thoughts and your mind and your heart around a thought. And I might fail in delivering it in the way it's supposed to be delivered, but I know God met with me. God talked to me. And God wants to talk to you. And as he invited the disciples here in this passage, and he says, come and dine. He invites us to do the same. We sing that hymn, come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. God is inviting us to fellowship with him. And it's not just that invitation to fellowship, but think of what just happened here. And in Luke chapter 5, right when God is about to call the disciples, he does almost the exact same miracle with them. Where there, he gets into Peter's boat, and they cast off into the sea so he can teach the multitude from the ship, the multitudes gathered on the shore. And after, he tells them to cast the net in. And what do? They fill the net, almost the exact same miracle. And as Jesus is inviting them to come and dine, and what are they dining on? Fish and bread. Jesus is reminding them through this miracle that the day I called you all those years ago, I'm the same God right now. That even though a lot has happened, and you might have had doubts about what's going to go forward, you've had failures in your life, I'm the same God, and I still want to fellowship with you. Come and dine. John chapter 10, verse number 9, Christ tells us, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. God wants to invite us in, into his fold, into a place of peace, into a place of fellowship, into a place of safety. And as he invites the disciples here, hey, I know life's been crazy. I know you guys might not know exactly what's going on, but it's me. I'm still here. Sit down. Let's dine. Let's fellowship together. Not only does he invite them to fellowship, but what is the story goes on. They sit and they talk in verse number 13. Then Jesus cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. There's that meal of the bread and the fish. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Peter. So it seems after they finished the meal and they sat and they fellowshiped for a while, Jesus, I think he knows Peter needs more. That Peter, for all his passion and energy, I think he might suffer from the opposite too. When he's high, and when he's low, he's low. And Jesus knows how influential he's going to be in the coming years, and he calls him aside. And we know that they don't stay with the group based on what it says later, as they appear to be walking, because Peter, it says, looks behind and sees John following them. So they weren't there staying with the whole group. It seems like he calls Peter, and they go for a little walk together. And as they're walking, maybe just off to the side of the group, maybe they're walking down the coast of the lake here, Jesus saith to Simon in verse 15, Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? What an interesting question. He says, do you love me more than these? Some people say he's talking about the fish and the miracle there, or his old life. But I believe here he's talking about the disciples. Jesus, at one point in the past, Peter made a profession that he loved God more than all the others. He says, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, feed my lambs. Verse 16. And he saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, thou son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now this time, Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. I try to picture this conversation. And as Peter, the Lord is questioning Peter, and the first time, do you love me? Yeah, I love you. Imagine maybe you're sitting down with your husband or wife, and they look at you and say, do you love me? He'd say, yeah, of course I love you. You're the best. You're the sweetest. You're the most beautiful. I love you more than anyone else. They ask you again, do you love me? And maybe now you think, well, I just told you I loved you. Why are you asking me another time? And maybe you add some more emphasis. Yes, I like to say this sometimes. I'll give you a secret, Brother Brahman. Out of all the billions of women in this planet, I think you're the best. You're the prettiest. I love you more than anyone else. And then a third time, do you love me? And now you're thinking, what did I do? Did I offend? Did I do something horrible? Is something going on I don't know about? Why would my wife ask me like this? Yes, I love you. And you can see that Peter here is even getting grieved in his heart. He's trying to express, yes, Lord, I love you. Maybe he's thinking in his mind of all the things he could say why he loves him. He doesn't say any. Maybe he could say, I just jumped in the sea and I swam to you. I was so excited to see you. Maybe he'd go back. Remember, I'm the one who ran to the tomb when I heard you were risen. I remember we just had a meal a little while back when you appeared. I was there in the group. I didn't doubt. I was together with the disciples. I love you. Maybe he's thinking about failures. Why is Jesus asking me? Peter has that special story where Christ told him that you're going to deny me three times. And as he denies God, it tells us in Luke 22:61, I think it's verse 61, that the last time he denies, that the cock crows and he and Jesus see each other. Can you imagine that? Peter had boasted. That's why Christ is asking, I'll never forsake you. I'm with you to the death. And Jesus says, no, you're going to deny me three times. And as Peter's doing it, maybe the first denial, he's not even thinking about it. And then the second denial, maybe right after, he's thinking, oh man. And then the third, he denies Christ again, and immediately he looks over, and Jesus is looking right at him. Can you imagine what that would have done to his heart? How discouraged that would have made him? How much of a failure he might have. Not only did he flee, not only was he kind of standing back and he didn't want to defend Jesus, he wasn't, but he denied him. Three times, and then right in that minute, Christ looks at him. Whew! That must have ripped his heart. And maybe Christ is asking him here these three times as a way to prove, as you denied me three times, now you profess you love me three times, trying to restore that. But Peter doesn't say that. He doesn't bring that up. He doesn't say, I know I denied you. I'm so sorry. He doesn't say any of those things. He doesn't ask the disciples, hey, back me up here. Anyone? He's asking can someone tell him what I've been saying, what I've been doing? No, he goes to God and he says I keep saying God, but he goes to Jesus and he says to him, you know all things. You know that I love you. You know that I love you. And you might look in your heart, I got to preach a while back about some of the discouragement that the devil can bring into your life. And say, you're not worthy of serving, you're not worthy of being a Christian. But you know between you and God. And go to God with this. In moments of confusion and doubt, just say, Lord, I love you. You know my heart. I've messed up here. I fail here. I don't live up to this. But God, you know that I love you. Back in Luke chapter 5, verse number 8, the first time that Jesus appears to Peter that day in the boat, Jesus, after the miracle of the fish, Simon knows that this is somebody different. And this is what Peter says to him. When Simon Peter saw it, this is in Luke 5:8, the miracle of the fishes, he just heard Jesus' message, he just saw the miracle, he says, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Peter knows who he really is inside, that he is a sinful man. The first time they met, he said, "God, I'm not even worthy to be near you. You're using the wrong guy here." But Peter does follow him, and he's with him for 3 years, and maybe Peter's mind's going back to that point when God is asking him, "Lovest thou me?" Maybe before this, he's going to think, "Man, I fled from Jesus. I swore I never would. Not only did I flee, I denied him 3 times, and he knows it. Not only did I deny him, but afterwards I was doubting. Man, all those teachings, he said he would rise, and why didn't we understand? We're such failures. We didn't." Maybe his mind's going back to where he was that day. He says, "I'm sinful. I'm not worthy to be a disciple." And Jesus is reminding him, "No, I called you. You are my disciple. I know that you love me." Maybe reminding Peter in his heart as he's saying, "Lord, you know I love you." He is reminding, Peter's reminding himself how much he loves God and what kind of passion he has to serve the Lord. And he says, "I love you." And Jesus says, "If you love me, here's what you do." The first time he tells him in verse 15 to feed my lamb. Second time, verse 16, he says, "Feed my sheep." And then 17, he repeats the same thing, "Feed my sheep." First, Jesus invites the disciples to come and dine, to have that time of fellowship. After he reminds Peter about that love that they have one for another, how much Peter loves his Savior, he tells him the second thing. He says, "If you love me, what are you going to do?" "Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep." That love needs to be translated into action. Feed my sheep. Do you take what you know about God, what you've learned from His Word, the blessings and the testimonies, the steps of faith, the answered prayers, do you take that and do you pass it on to someone else? Is your ministry, your life is a ministry, are you using it to feed the sheep? Remember, Jesus says that He is the Good Shepherd. And He came to gather the sheep, as we mentioned in the first point. He wants them to enter in and have pasture. Are you feeding the sheep? Are you taking what you know from the Word of God, what God has taught you, the doctrines of this book, the truths of the teachings of God, and teaching others, feeding others? Say, "I'm not the pastor." You don't have to be the pastor to feed the sheep. God has put people in your life that are sheep that you're supposed to be feeding. It could be your spouse. It can be your children. It could be co-workers. It can be anyone that God's put in your path. Are you feeding His sheep? You say, "Lord, I love God so much. I can't wait for the day we get to get back to church. I want to praise Him." You don't have to be here to serve God. God is telling you here, as He told Peter, "Feed my sheep." Feed them. Teach them. Guide them. Care for them. That love that Peter has needs to be translated into action. I'm reminded as I was reading this that Jesus, as it tells us in verse number 13, that He gave... I can't walk away. I didn't put on the mic. I almost walked away. That He gave the disciples to eat here fish and bread. And it brought me back to the miracle where Jesus fed the 5,000. What did He feed them that day? Fish and bread. And then the one of the tellings, he asked the disciples, "Well, what are we going to do? All these people here, what should we do?" God is asking us today, "Look, I've given you the food, the fish and the bread." And He gave it to that day when He did the miracle. It says that Jesus broke it and He gave it to His disciples. And then they gave it out to the people. They took what they got from God, what they got from Christ, and they passed it on to the people. And as at the end of the book here, almost the very end of the ministry of Christ here on the earth, he brings Peter back to that day. We fed the people. Remember how I provided and were able to give so there was enough for all? Feed them. Not the physical food that I fed you here today, not the physical food that we shared among the 4,000 and among the 5,000, but the spiritual food. Feed my sheep. Look on them with the compassion that I had. Look on them with love. That love you have for me that you're saying here, you're grieved and you're expressing that love, now take it and show it to the people. Feed my sheep. Know how much longing you had to see me? How much discouragement was in your heart when I was gone? You know all the teachings and the blessings that you got from my word, Peter? Take all that energy, that passion, that love, and now let's pass it on and feed the people. It's easy to get cold. It's easy for your heart to not necessarily get filled with a hatred or to despise people who are lost or people who aren't growing or people who you feel like aren't using what they've been given by God. But it's easy to just kind of forget about them and to lose the passion and the compassion that we're supposed to have. Not just for the lost world, but for people who are saved, who are followers, but are hurting, who aren't where they're supposed to be in their Christian life, who are still in the milk of the Word, or are struggling to overcome sin. And God reminds us here, man, if you're ever in confusion and doubt, don't know what to do, hey, look back, remember how much I fed you and took care of you. You know what to do? Feed my sheep. Take all those blessings and teachings that I've given you. Now let's pass it on to someone in front of you, someone around you now. And the last thing he tells them here, and we'll be done, after he tells them to feed his sheep, he gives a prophecy about how Peter is going to die. And in verse number 19, this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God, the death of Peter. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, these two words, follow me. So first he invites the disciples, let's come and dine, let's fellowship. You don't know what to do? Let's regroup here. Let's fellowship, get alone with God, fellowship with God. Remember all the times God met with you in the past and the sweet times that you've had with him. Let's get it together and invite others and encourage each other. Then he says, remember all the teachings, all the things I've showed you, I've taught you, feed my sheep, let's pass it on. And then for you personally, he's telling Peter, you're going to die a martyr's death. It's not going to be easy. The church is going to be persecuted almost immediately after. It doesn't have 300 years of freedom and blessing. No, it's persecution from the start. And he knows what Peter's going to go through. He knows what suffering he's going to face coming up. And he reminds him, follow me. That was one of the first things Jesus ever said to Peter. Way back but when his ministry was first starting. And Matthew chapter 4, verse number 19, that same day where he did the miracle of the fishes that he just did for them again. The same day that Peter said, I'm not worthy to be. The same day Jesus said to him, Matthew 4:19, follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. Jesus once again reminds him of, remember when it all started? You chose to follow me. I invited you, follow me. And you left your nets. Then you got up and you followed me. Keep following me. This journey is just starting. There's a long road coming up, Peter. And what you need to remember is, follow me. You might be at a point in your life where you have doubts and confusion and I don't understand and life's not the way it is. And I know there's got to be a group of people who get a lot of their spiritual nourishment from church services. And their personal time with God isn't as strong as it should be. And they're missing now this encouragement and the nourishment we get from being in the house of God. And you might be at home a little bit discouraged, a little bit hurting. A little bit confused. What's going on? Why is God allowing this? Or maybe it has nothing to do with right now. It's something that's going to come up in the future. maybe something that's already happened years ago in the past. Remember, through it all, these words, follow me. That's how it starts in our walk with God, when we begin to follow Him. And that doesn't change the whole way through. We need to always follow Him. Now, when Peter hears this, he looks around, and this is where we see in verse number 21, Peter, seeing him that saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? And he repeats it, follow thou me. Peter says, well, what's he going to do? Jesus said, it doesn't matter what he's going to do. You need to follow me. When Christ commands us to follow him, it's for you. That's God's calling to you. It's easy to look at others who've walked away from God. Say, man, they couldn't make it. How am I going to make it? It's easy to look at others who've fallen into sin and say, man, if they couldn't get victory, how am I ever going to get victory? Look at others who do it different. Say, are they the ones who are following God, or are we the ones who are following God? Well, who's right? And if we're wrong, then we need to change to be like them. If they're wrong, I need to go tell them. No, follow him. As God talks to you, as God speaks to your needs, as God guides you from his word, follow him. Don't say, well, I'm not a success because I don't do it as good as or as big as, or I don't see as many saved as. No, you follow him. Peter doesn't have the ministry that we see Paul have, where Paul gets to travel and start churches all over. Does that mean Paul's a better Christian than Peter? No, each of them was doing what God called them to do. Peter was reminded, I need to follow him. Don't put your mind on others. Don't put your mind on the circumstances. Put your mind on Christ. I'm going to follow him. I wondered, as I was reading this story, how many times throughout the rest of his ministry, maybe at the moment that he is going to die, that Christ prophesies here, that his mind goes back to this day. And he remembers Christ asking him, maybe you can still hear his voice, Simon Peter, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And Peter, maybe in his mind, hears his response, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Feed my sheep. Maybe at a point where Peter was feeling alone. The disciples had broken up. Some had died. Some were martyred. There's a division between him and Paul, and he doesn't know what's going on. And he hears the voice of Christ that day saying, come and dine. I want to encourage you. I want to strengthen you. Let's spend some time together. And then maybe he's trying to serve God later in life, and he's not sure what's going on. He doesn't know what to do. He's getting discouraged. And he's just reminded, what do I need to do? I need to follow him. I'm just going to follow what God showed me, what Christ taught me to do. Hebrews 13, verse number 8, tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you're ever at a point where you're confused or discouraged or in doubt, remember, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. As they sit here on the beach this day, Jesus takes them back to yesterday. Remember when I called you? Remember when I did the miracle then? Remember how I fed you? Do the same thing. Today, he's giving them the message. And I was thinking how many times in the future Peter might have looked back in his mind to this day and remembered the words of Christ, come and dine. He remembered, feed my sheep. Is that what I'm doing? And he remembered, follow me. No matter how hard it gets, I just got to take another step. I just got to follow. I hope this is a blessing to you. It's been a blessing to my heart to think about these simple phrases that we need to spend time with God in fellowship. To come and dine. That our ministry, no matter what it is, whether you're a pastor, a Sunday school teacher, or just a normal person in the church pews, if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, feed his sheep. Look for something in your life where you're not just worried about me, what can I? But you're looking at a way now. I need to take what I've learned from Christ and feed it to others. And then through it all, he says, follow me. Follow me. Let's end in a word of prayer. Lord, I do thank you for your word. I thank you for the encouragement that it's been in my heart. Lord, I thank you for just the blessing of seeing how you take what we've heard in the past, what we've learned in the past, the blessings and the miracles you've done in our lives, and remind them of us to help us continue forward in the future. Help us, Lord, to never to be complacent, to be discouraged, to Lord, get our time of fellowship with you, to build up our souls, to build up our hearts and our strength that we can go out and feed others. Lord, help us in everything we do just to follow you, to take your word as our guide, as our foundation, to study it, to learn from it, and then to follow it. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, church.